Matthew chapter 14, look with me, please. We'll begin our reading today at verse number 22. Very familiar story, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm reading the context, or beginning it kind of in the middle of a story. He has just fed the 5,000 men plus the women and children. So all that great multitude they fed, and had 12 baskets full left over. But now notice right immediately after that. Notice verse 22 of chapter 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. It's going across the Sea of Galilee. And then he said, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He often went places alone. I was reading devotionally this week in the book of John, and the first verse of one of the chapters simply says this, and Jesus went into the garden, into the Mount of Olives. And in the little margin beside that verse, and I wrote, and I did too. And what an experience to be in Israel and to go into the and onto the Mount of Olives and go in and pray by some of those old olive trees. Some of them been there since the day of Christ. And what a blessing. But it's a place of retreat. It's a place of prayer. And here is one of those scenes. And he has left the disciples, sent them away, and he goes off and he prays alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come into thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he, that is Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me in this time. Thank you for the singing of the congregation. Brother Jeff leading the music this morning. Thank you, our Father, for the great singing of the choir and the specials this morning. Thank you for touching and blessing our hearts, Lord, through the special. And God, I pray, God, that now you'd speak to me and to our friends here in the building. And our Father, what a blessing to be able to bow before you this morning and confess that there's no good thing in me. God, I want to thank you for your call. God, for your equipping. And God, I thank you for using me. God, purge my mind and heart. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with the word of God and use me for your glory. And I pray, God, that you'd get the glory. God, let people get help this morning. I pray, God, if there's a lost man, a woman, boy, girl in the building, that God, the Holy Ghost of God, would convict them, draw them by your grace, and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, for every believer, they'd get help. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. People are always asking me, not just because of what's going on in Israel, but quite often they ask me, did you see such and such? It may have been on Newsmax, on Fox. It may have been on television. It may have been something related to world crisis or world problems or local problems, or it might have something to do with something religious, or sometimes it's just about anything, you know, stories of interest. And I appreciate that. Please don't quit. That's how I get a lot of news, is by you relating that to me. What did you see? Did you see this and did you see that? And people always ask me that. And I think all those things are important. But this morning, with what's going on in the world, I think there's something far greater that we need to see than what you'll see on Newsmax or Fox or CNN or any of the local channels or any publication that you read. There's something far more important. I want to encourage you this morning to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look unto Jesus. when you think about all that's going on in the world today, we're certainly in a mess. These guys were in a mess. These sailors were in a mess. Jesus had sent them to cross the Sea of Galilee late in the afternoon, in the early evening, and it is now dark. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6. They had been in the storm or in the wind, boisterous for some time, before he started walking to them. But in the midst of the night, in the midst of the sea, this sea was rough. And so I want you to notice in the first place, just by way of introduction, that they were in a dire situation. They were in a bad situation. Now, these were not just, you know, wimpy men, and many of them had sailing experiences. They knew what to do when the water was rough. They knew what to do. They knew when to go out, when not to go out. They knew that a certain way you had to go. You cannot fight the wind. You have to tack. You can't go into the wind and some people say that when they said the wind was contrary, it means it was against them. Like if they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, the wind was blowing in their face. And so if you were sailing, you don't go straight into the wind. You have to tack back and forth, back and forth. The only problem with that is when you make a turn and you've got 14-foot waves, you got real problems on a sailing vessel. And so they were in legitimate problem. I mean, they really were in need. They were in the midst of the sea, the deepest part of the sea. They were in deep water. The Bible says the ship was tossed. That means it wasn't just white capping. It's rough. I mean, this ship was being tossed to and fro. They were in a real dark, this time of a dire need. They were in trouble. And we have real troubles in the world today. You have real troubles in your life. There's no need to sugarcoat it. I'm not talking about putting your head in the sand. I'm not talking about you just ignoring it. But I'm just saying there's a focus that we ought to have, and we need to look on the Lord Jesus Christ and see Him. The ship was tossed. The wind was contrary, and so on. But notice something else. They did not recognize Christ. I thought that interesting where the Holy Ghost of God said that. When they saw Him, they thought He was a spirit. In other words, they, number one, they probably were not expecting Him to come as He did. The other thing is, it may have had something to do with their vision at night. I'm sure there was a spray because of the wind. Maybe it was just the dark. But they didn't recognize Christ in their situation. And so often you and I get in trouble and we focus only on the trouble. And we forget that Christ is there. You say, He needs to come to my aid. He said this, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you have an accident, He's already there. When you're diagnosed with cancer, He's already there. When you're in the hospital room at night, none of your family can be with you, He's there. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The problem is we don't recognize Him. We don't recognize the fact that He's there and acknowledge the fact that He's there. If we would acknowledge His presence, we'd understand and we'd appreciate so very much. What time we cannot see Him or feel Him, we'll trust Him by faith. Someone said, I can't feel His hand, but I know His heart. I know He loves me, and He made a promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so here they are in this situation. But notice, they got delivered. How did they get delivered? The Bible says when they saw Him in the midst of the storm, and they saw Him in the night. Now, they don't have searchlights. They don't have little, you know, lights to shine out across the water. But they saw Him in the darkness. How can that be? Because He is a light of the world. And I promise you, in the darkest night you go through, Jesus Christ will be the light of the world. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. I'm glad that He's there with them. They got delivered. Jesus came to them in the middle of the night. And notice He came walking on the water. The storm was raging. And Peter says, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. And Jesus bid him come. And He came and went walking on the water. Bible said He got down out of the ship and He walked on the sea. But notice, the Bible says that when He looked down and He saw the sea was boisterous, the waves were boisterous, that means they were really rough. He's focused on Jesus. As long as on Jesus, He's walking. But when He takes His eyes off Jesus and begins to look down, the Bible said, and beginning to sink, He cried and He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And what a wonderful passage of scriptures this is. And he cried and said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. I read through that several times a few years back, and I got this picture in my mind. He sees Jesus coming. He looks down. He sees the waves. He begins to sink. And when he looks up, he cries, Lord, save me. And Jesus, who was approaching him and him to Jesus, it may have been some distance away, but when he raised his eyes off the waves, Jesus was right there by him, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said, and the Lord reached out his hand and took him. I mean, he was close enough to get him by the hand. He was right there in the most crucial time of his life, the most critical time of his life. Jesus was right there. He was not only a hand away, but he was just a prayer away. Lord, save me. And I'll tell you how close he is to you today. He's just a prayer away. If you're lost without Christ, you might not make it out of this building. You may not make it home today. And you say, Brother, how close is he? He said, he's nigh unto thee, even in thy heart and thy mouth. Jesus is so very close to you right now. And if you wanted to be saved, he's just a prayer away. You cry out to him and God will save you. But listen, notice our Lord Jesus Christ, he delivered him, and beginning to sink, he cried and lifted up his eyes. And what did he do? Things changed, not the water, but where he was fearful, now he had peace. He's holding the master's hand. Now watch this. He's sinking, the waves are rough, and he cries out to Jesus. Jesus takes him back by the hand. He gets back up on top of the waves, and they walk back to the ship together. And the Bible said, and the sea became calm after they got in the ship. Jesus didn't still the storm, but he stilled the heart of Peter. And my dear friend, in the midst of your storm, he can give you a peace. You'll know that he's holding your hand. I love that old song that said, he'll hold to my hand. He'll hold to my hand. And he'll hold you. He'll hold you in the darkest hours of your life. But what made the difference? The wind did not stop until they got into the sea. But Peter went from being fearful to having peace. He went from sinking to walking on the waves and then into the ship. And then after they were in the ship, it became calm, and all those in the ship worshiped the Lord. What was the difference? The difference between sinking and walking on water is seeing Jesus, looking at the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you know him this morning as your Savior, if you're not careful, you'll begin to look at the waves. You'll begin to look at world crisis. You begin to look at health issues. You'll focus on all of that instead of looking at the Lord. And my sermon this morning consists of a bunch of verses. And I'm going to share those verses with you, make very brief comments. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me share these verses with you just really quick. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Notice in Psalms, I'll give you the verses. You write them down and look at them later. Psalm 121 in verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm going to lift up my eyes. I'm going to look unto the hills. But not looking at the hills. He's looking at the Lord. He's going to look upon the one who made heaven and earth. Now you think about that. Whatever need you've got, the one that you're looking to is the one who can do anything. A verse says in the New Testament, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Jesus that you call on, the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, he is the creator of heaven and earth. Do you think he can help you? Do you think he can help you through some physical crisis? Do you think he can help us through a political crisis? Do you think he could keep us safe in the midst of even in war? He certainly can. We're going to look to him. Psalms number 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will I not fear. He's a very present help. Peter found that out. Right in the middle of the storm, right when the waves were, and he was sinking below the waves, Jesus was right with him in a time of trouble. And he's right with you in your time of trouble. And he's a refuge, and whatever's going on around you, he can hedge you in, and he'll be with you and keep you. I found this little verse in the book of Micah, chapter 7 and verse 7. I like that, two sevens. Seven is perfection. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. Micah said, I'm going to look to the Lord. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind, in His Word. Look to Him. See that He's creator of all things. See that He's a very present help in a time of need. See that He is your refuge. See that He is your strength. He's going to take you and do anything that you need done in your life. Go to the New Testament. Look in the book of Luke, chapter 21 and verse 28. And it said this, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's amazing if you would go read those verses, and I won't take time to go back and read them now, but he talks about fear gripping men's heart, and when they come in, enemy comes in like a flood, he said, then you look up, your redemption draweth nigh. In the time of trouble, when it's coming, Jesus is there. The Bible said he's near unto all that are of a broken and a contrite heart. Broken means broken by sadness or sorrow, even fear. But it also means the contriteness has to do with repentant heart, humble heart. You're living in a world that's real. You got real problem, real danger. But he said he's very near to those who have a broken heart and those who have a contrite spirit, a humble spirit, a repentant spirit. Lift up your eyes, he said, and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. Here's the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking, turning our eyes upon Jesus. What are we looking for? He's coming again. He's coming again, and it might be any moment. We've all said that for years, and here we are. We're living in Bible prophecy right now, and Jesus Christ is coming. And in 1 Corinthians, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. And we'll be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And we're looking for that. We're anticipating that. That's not pie in the sky by and by. That's reality. We know He's coming. And we're looking for Him. And so we're not looking at the ways. We're not looking at the problems. And we're not ignoring them. We know what's going on. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. But we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know He's our refuge. We know He's our strength. He knows He's close to us in a time of trouble. We know that He's going to hear us. And we know that He's coming to get us in the rapture. And so we're going to be looking for that glorious day. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. And He is expecting those who know Him to be looking for Him, not looking around and not getting just bewildered and not being fearful and afraid of the times you're living in, but we're looking forward to that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we're looking to Him, and He's going to appear to those that are looking for Him. He expects us to be looking for His return. We're looking to see Him. I've often told the story about when our daughter Becky got saved after Regina's daddy had passed away. She and I were fishing, and God the Holy Ghost dealt with it. She got saved. She trusted Christ. She asked Christ to come in her heart. And boy, she just cried and cried and cried. And I sat on the front of the boat and just let her have a time with the Lord. And when she got her composure, she crawled back up on her seat. She first thing she said to me was, said, Daddy, didn't you say Jesus was coming in the clouds? And I said, yes, I did, baby. And she said, look at there. There's a cloud. You reckon He's coming? I tell you, she was anticipating it. She knew He was coming, knew He's coming. And you know, I went off and preached one time, and I just thought, think about this, Regina. And on the phone, Regina said, you need to talk to your baby girl. And I said, why? She said, because she's sitting on the front porch, and she won't come in. And I was finishing revival and going to drive back from Georgia, Florida, or somewhere. And she said, you had told her you were coming home tonight. And she's going to sit there till you get here. She's going to be looking for you. My dear friend, can I tell you, Jesus Christ is coming again. And if you're anticipating him, you're looking for him. People look around and say, oh, what in the world are we going to do? What in the world is going to happen? What's this world coming to? It's coming to an end, hallelujah. But it's their world that's coming to an end. I was just getting ready to get started. We're looking to Jesus. He's coming. And the Bible said we ought to be looking for him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. We ought to be like Abraham, for he looked for a city whose foundation and whose builder and maker was God. We're looking for that city. I asked Regina, well, could that be a solo? I was going to get somebody to sing, looking for a city. I think it was Happy Goodman's song, looking for a city. Listen, you asked me, Brother Biddle, would you like to go to New York? Not in 100 years. Las Vegas, who in the world would want to go to Las Vegas or Bourbon Street or whatever, any of the major cities? I have no interest. If I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go where there's woods and a creek at, river, want to get away from everybody. But there is one city I want to see. I want to see that glorious city, streets paved with gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, and I'm looking for that city. We're in this righteousness, and thank God for it. He said, you and I, here's how we ought to live. We ought to live looking unto Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, I love this next verse, and it says this in this passage of Scripture, 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and for a new earth. Thank God for that. We're just looking for that, looking for that time. I love Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher for our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. I'm glad we can look unto Jesus this morning. We can see him as he died and was crucified for us. As he rose again, he's seated right beside the Father this morning. Thank God he's there. Thank God he's alive forevermore. Thank God he ever lives to make intercession for us. And we're looking for that city. We're getting ready to go. You've got my ticket punched, amen. Heaven is our home. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. Nothing in the world wrong with us looking unto Jesus this morning. See him in his exalted position, seated by the Father. See him in his intercession as he's praying for you day and night. See as he's looking and listening to everything you have to say. And he's there to help you. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. And thank the Lord for that. Brother Barry's teaching the book of Revelation, and I love it. We're looking for it. And looking through it from the Word of God, and only can imagine what it looks like. But did you know that John got to see it? I mean, John, before he left this world, he got to see it. He got to see that New Jerusalem. He saw it. He's the one that described it for us, and the size of it, and the splendor of it, and the joy of it, and all that's there. Oh, thank the Lord. When he saw it, how did he react? You know, he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos when the Holy Ghost of God showed him all these things. I love what he said in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. And he's talking about Jesus to begin with. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. He said, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Amen. And here is John's response. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. How do you feel about it this morning? Is heaven real to you? Is Jesus real to you? If you look at him, he said he'd keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, just keep your eyes on the Lord. Just focus on him and loving him. And if you do that, you'll want to tell somebody else about him. And so we'll spend the rest of our days until Jesus comes and comes and gets us, looking for his return, but loving him and serving him and sharing the gospel with everybody we can to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I give you, if I could write you out a prescription this morning, you go to the doctor and he's got all kind of problems. If I could write you out a prescription for peace in 2023, here it is. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Brother Roland's going to come. Turn your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, would you bow your heads for a moment? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. He said, this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. I wonder this morning, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you'll look to him in faith, if you'll believe him that he died, was buried, and rose again, if you would trust him as your Savior, he would forgive you of all of your sin and give you a home in heaven. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He prayed in John 17, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. That is, he's going to be in heaven for all eternity. And he wants you to be there. You don't have to talk him into it. And regardless of what you've done, he bore all your sins in his own body on that tree. He paid your sin debt. The wage of sin is death. The payment on sin is death. And the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for his own sin. He died for our sin. He paid that sin debt. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the sin debt had been paid. But he offers it to you as a free gift, and that free gift must be received. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And right now, right where you are, you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. If you're lost and you don't ever call on him, you'll be in hell for all eternity. By simple faith, believing that you're a sinner and that he paid your sin debt, he said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you would call on him this morning, right where you are in the building, in the internet, if you would call on him, believing in your heart, that he died, was buried, and rose again, he's alive, and ask him to come in your heart and receive him as your Savior, he'd save you. And I plead with you, be you reconciled to God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now. But for those of you who are Christians, Christ said he came that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth peace, give I unto you, but I give you my peace. The world peace is contingent on no conflict, no war, no problems, no sickness. But his peace is completely different. In the midst of the storm, he can give you peace. In the midst of cancer, he can give you peace. In the midst of tragedy, heartache, and war, he can give you a peace of God that passeth all understanding. He'll keep your mind and your heart if you but trust him. He also said, I've come that you might have joy. He wants you to have real peace and real joy. You need to trust him. And so anything that disturbs your peace and that robs you of your joy is contrary to the will of God. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Let the Holy Ghost of God search your heart. If you've got anything in there that ought not to be there, ask him to forgive you. Perhaps you've been focusing more on other things than on Jesus. I'd encourage you this morning to turn to him. And if he puts his finger on something, ask him to forgive you. Our building is arranged a little differently this morning, but you can kneel around on either side, or you can just bow your head where you are. And you can receive Christ, but you can also ask him to help you to focus on him, to keep looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, to keep looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to look to Him from whence cometh thy help. We're going to keep looking at Him. Jesus is all we have, but He's absolutely all we need.